Almighty God, wouldst thou teach us the truth that shall set us free from our sin and from ourselves. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The question that Jesus asked of a man that has been crippled for 38 years is abrupt, and at first glance seems almost cruel. But when we look a little further and discover that perhaps this man was one of those people who had come to enjoy being sick, the question of Jesus is pointed and significant. This was the man who had been in the porch at Bethesda for this long time, and when the angel came and troubled the waters, when he tried to get into the water, someone always stepped in ahead of him, and I have an idea that he was a little bit relieved, because evidently he had become one to enjoy being crippled. He was one of those who took advantage of being sick, and even though he might have on the surface wanted to be healed, Jesus doubted it enough to ask him the question, "Do you really want to get well?" Sometimes I have people come to me and say, "I want to be permanently well adjusted. Could you make some suggestions?" Now there's one for you. I always have to point out to these people the only possible answer. The folks over in the cemetery are permanently well adjusted. And that's about as close as we're ever going to come, because so long as we live, we're going to face frustrations and trials. And those of us who are reasonably adjusted are going to be those who learn how to live with it. I had not been gone into college teaching and counseling long when a pastor friend came to visit me. We had served neighboring pastorates at one time. He said to me, "I understand you're a psychologist now." And I pointed out to him that that was my teaching area. And he said to me, "Say something to me in psychology." I wonder if I might do that here this morning without being presumptuous enough to think that I'm going to help any of you become permanently well adjusted. If I might say something to you along the lines of how to live with yourself, I'd like to do it by asking you some questions, the first of which I'm going to borrow from Dr. Murray Banks, who is a Jewish clinician and a very fine one. And then asking you these questions, just have you quickly to evaluate for yourselves the answers. We'll not have time here to go into any detail, but perhaps at some later date, privately or publicly, we can sit down together and discuss some of them. If you should go to a doctor for a diagnosis, one of the first things that he would do would be to take your temperature, because he has learned that the higher your temperature, the more advanced the disease process. If you'd like to take your own emotional temperature or that of some other person, just ask this question: "Are you happy?" And if they should say, "Happy, I'm the most miserable person who ever walked," you've got the first indication of maladjustment. And I'm not here to say to you this morning that we're going to always be ha 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 happy, because if you live like that, chances are that the men in the white jackets will come and get you. But if you go about all the time deeply depressed, sorely disturbed, and complaining, and groaning, they're going to come and get you anyhow. So in between these two alternatives, somewhere there is a happiness that is characteristic of the well-adjusted life. And so I ask you this morning, without any apologies, are you happy? Then I'd also ask you, do you have a zest for living, regardless of your age? From the youngest person present in this chapel service to the most mature, to the eldest, do you have a zest for living? Is there a zing in your life still, regardless of your age and regardless of the circumstances of your life? If you don't, you're going to be much more inclined towards maladjustment and towards being unhappy. There's a little story told about the woman who was walking along the edge of the road, and a man came by in an automobile, and he didn't hit her, but he came so close to her that she lost her balance and slipped and fell, and he screeched to a stop and rolled down the window and looked back towards where she was and said, "Look out! Get out of the way!" She said, "What's the matter? You coming back?" Now, I would think that she was pretty well adjusted. She had a grasp of that situation. I would think that she would be one who had a zest for living. She came back with this sharp retort and probably caused him to think as she made her statement. Another question is this: are you socially adjusted? Do you like being with others? I realize I'm speaking to seminarians, students, wives, staff members, faculty, and fellow administrators in this institution. And I ask you, are you socially adjusted? Because our speaker of yesterday made a keen point when he told us that in the ministry, we must love people. So do you like being with others and sharing with others? If you do, chances are that you are fairly well adjusted. But not if you like to live the life of a recluse. If you like to escape, if you like to build a little schizophrenic cocoon around yourself and escape off into your own little world, pleasant though it is. A sign of adjustment is being socially adaptable with other people. Then do you have unity and balance? How many times do I encounter those people who are building and have built their lives upon one support? And maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're all wrapped up in just one thing. And if you are, may God have mercy. Because when the Jordan overflows, if that one support gives way, you're a goner. But if you build your life upon many supports, if you have many interests and many outlets, many ways in which you can find expression, one or two or more of them gives way and you don't fall. You might waddle a little bit, but you don't fall. You come back and gain a steady footing again. So I hope that you have built and are building your life on many supports. Then another question: can you live with each problem in your life as it arises? How ridiculous for a person to want to be permanently well adjusted. Can you face life as it comes and deal with the problems in it one day at a time? When Jesus taught us to pray, he did not say, "Give me a week's supply or a month's or a year's or a permanent supply of bread." He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." So we learn as we adjust to live with each problem as it arises. And if you don't have any particular problems today, relax. You're going to have some. Because we're all going to have problems. And we're going to have to learn how to adjust to them and to accept them. Another question is this: do you have insight into your own conduct? One psychology professor asked his students, "What's the opposite of insight?" And they said, "Outsight." And they might have been right. But do you understand the real reasons for your behavior? Talking about now your personal private affairs. And I'm not talking about those reasons that you might tell me or someone else. But do you understand the real reasons for your behavior? Why you act like you act when you do? We need to have insight into our own conduct and to understand why we act like we do. Then another question quickly is this: do you have a confidential relationship with some other person? This is not to minimize the therapeutic value of prayer, because I have seen prayer cause miracles. But I am a firm believer that in addition to prayer, and in addition to the relationship that we have with an eternal loving God, each one of us needs a confidential relationship with some other person, one in which we can say anything we want to that other person, and they're going to still love us and respect us and respond to us. I've seen some people who needed this sort of relationship so badly, that they would get married to get it and then begin lying to the other person. Isn't that tragic? I would go so far here as to suggest to you that we all need this confidential relationship with some other person beyond our own family, because there are those times and those things that we just can't discuss with a member of the family. If you don't have it, you need now to be cultivating a relationship with some other human being with whom you can be open and absolutely free. And then, as important as any of the others, is the question: do you have a sense of the ridiculous? Do you have a sense of humor? It has been said that a person is never really mature until he laughs out loud at himself. And I'll buy that. Until we get to the place in life, even though we are living it for God and we take it seriously, sacredly so, we develop a sense of humor and we learn how to laugh because it's good medicine. And I've been watching you this morning as I speak, and I'm watching who laughs and who doesn't laugh. And I'm picking out some pretty good cases in here too. Mostly in this section right over here. Develop a sense of humor. Be serious when the circumstances demand seriousness, but learn how to laugh easily and heartily and freely. And then, are you engaged in satisfying work? You know, sometimes people will say, "Oh, I'm working so hard, I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown." Did you know that there is no such thing as a nervous breakdown? You can't break a nerve. You can destroy it, you can kill it, but you can't break one. And did you know also that no one in this world ever had a so-called breakdown from overwork? You don't break down from overwork. What you break down from is over-worry. You can work, and some of you do work, 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. And some of us have tried it 18 and 20 hours a day at something that you love. And you'll get tired And you'll need occasional vacations and some diversion. But you won't break down. But if you work for 15 minutes at something that you hate or for someone that you despise, brother, you're overworked. You'll get ulcers on your ulcers. Are you engaged in satisfying work? Is it meaningful? Is it accomplishing for you within the will of God what God intends? And is it satisfying to you? And my tenth and last question is related to these others. Do you know, have you learned how to worry effectively? One lady said, I worry all the time. I worry about things that have happened and things that I'm afraid will happen and about things that might happen. I worry about my family. I worry about myself. I worry about housework. I worry about church work. And on those few occasions when I'm not worried, I get worried because I'm not worrying. What's wrong with me? Do you know how to worry effectively? Or are you still one of those pitiful souls who worry about everything, even about those things that you can't possibly control? And when we worry about things that we can't control, we're wasting worry. A sign of an adjusted life is learning how to worry effectively, if you must worry. And I'm not going to say to you, now don't worry, because you're going to. You're a human being. But learn how to worry effectively. May we pray. Almighty God, wouldst thou teach us how to live abundant lives? Lives of meaningful service for the cause of Christ, in whose name we pray.